Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien here, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Hope everybody's doing well. I've been up since 3 a.m. My beagle got up at 5 a.m., so when you get up before the beagle, boy, you are not sleeping. But in any case, it's been a busy week, and I think I'm a little wired up. But so if I slur my words today, it's not because I was drinking, which I don't do. It's because I haven't had any sleep. So I hope everybody's doing well. I think we're supposed to get thunderstorms later in the day. I was just looking at the radar. Rocky was asking me how it is out there, and I said, yeah, it's still sunny, partly sunny, whatever, a little hazy. Hot and humid all week, though. Boy, does it slow you down or what? I'll tell you, it's been a crazy week. Hope everybody's doing well. I helped a very nice lady this week get a job, introducing her to my recruiter friend who happened to be looking for someone like her. And I really love helping people. You can help someone find a job. That is the coolest thing in the world because, you know, we all need a helping hand from time to time. So, you know, reach out. If you see someone struggling, it's not all about money. Good karma goes a long way in life. If you treat others well, and life will be kind. Treat others poorly, and karma will get you eventually. If you don't ask me, just check with Harvey Weinstein or whatever that nut name is out in California. What a nut job he is and everything else. It's been a crazy week. Many of you have been thinking about for months to call me, have decided to call, and you all called last week, which I love, don't get me wrong. But boy, oh boy, I opened a lot of files this week talking to many of you. And you all said the same thing. I've been listening to you for months, and I finally got up the nerve. And I just find it fascinating that many of you decided to do that all in the same week. But I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. But, it's been a crazy week, and you made appointments. You brought in your statements, and we talked about what's important to you and see if, we're a good match. So I wanted to go back to the basics in terms of what do you bring to a financial planning meeting, okay? And I was writing this out this morning, taking some notes that I've made previously. And the first thing you should bring is your latest tax return. And if it's last year's, that's fine. Your most recent Social Security statement. So you go online, download your Social Security statements. It's easy to sign up. Just have your cell phone with you because they'll want to send the code to you. Your most recent statements from your employer retirement plans or IRAs if rolled over already. I want to see your 401ks. Current, past, and whatnot, so we can see where you're at and what's going on there. Recent statements for investment accounts not held with me. Obviously, if you're a prospect coming in off the radio show or know me through other people, I want to see your investment statements. Balances and payment amounts for mortgages and ongoing debts. Credit cards. If you don't have any credit card debt and you've paid off your house, you can very proudly write zero in the little box there. But you have a mortgage balance. I want to know how much your payments are, what your rate is, and how much is left on the mortgage and everything else. And obviously the value of the house if it's a residential. If it's investment properties, and some of you have investment properties, the value of the investment property, whether you have a positive or negative carry every month, and what the mortgage is on that investment property, because that goes into your cash flows, which enter into retirement planning and whatnot. Okay. Some of you asked me a very interesting question this week. Can you swap investment properties for a vacation home in Florida without incurring capital gains? And my first thought was, I don't think you can do it with investment property. You can do it with residential property, but not investment property. But I may be wrong, and depending on the state you're going to and where you came from, which is usually Connecticut, we will check it out for you. I have some pros. Some of you, I've referred to a pro that knows the answer to these questions because they work with it every day. Bear in mind, it's not how much I know, but sometimes it's who do I know that does know. And that also came up later in the week when someone called me, a Medicare supplemental guy that's expert in that field. He was on the show last year. He called and thanked me for a referral I forgot I gave because Fred came into him and he was able to help him. And, you know, of course, Fred was very thankful. But sometimes I have people out there, you know, there's so many things to know. Remember I was talking last week about family offices? The truly wealthy, you know, billion or more in assets and everything, they have family offices where they have experts in different fields who have experts they know. And so you try to get you to the right person who has expertise in that area because they've spent, in order to become an expert, I was told by this by a painter who has some paintings in the White House, and he works out in Jackson Hole, and I forget his name. I met him years ago. Really liked him, though. He said, you know, when I first started painting, I wasn't very good, but I worked at it and worked at it, and I've come to the conclusion that it takes 5 years or 10,000 hours to become expert in anything. And I went, how much? And he goes, 5 years and 10,000 hours to become truly expert in any field. And some of you are probably shaking your head like, what the heck? But I think he's right. The more and more I talk to him, if I send someone to an expert in estate law and planning, or an expert in real estate, maybe commercial, maybe residential, or an expert in Medicare supplemental, it does. It takes a long time to become very, very aware of what's going on and new products coming in and what's good for you and what isn't good for you. Okay, and the other thing is a big, big deal with me, and I was having a chat with a neighbor who were walking dogs together, and she was telling me about her son having a conflict with a neighbor who had put drainage pipes on his property, and I said, did he go to an attorney? He goes, no, he actually went to the person, explained to him what happened. They went to their survey and straightened it all out, and she just made a remark about how you can't trust anybody, blah, 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 blah. And I said, what I try to do is when I have a circle of people that I work with, the one thing I demand of anybody I work with or anybody that comes on this show is integrity. They have to have integrity. And any whiff that they are being less than truthful in any way with someone, okay? Even if I don't mind if they're making a mistake, all I want to know is they owned up to it and it won't happen again. Because God knows, look in the mirror, we've all made mistakes, and we, you know, and the person that owns them, learns from them, moves on, that's okay. So I told her, I said, I surround my people with integrity, and if they don't act with integrity, they have to answer to me because they'll never get another referral again. So even if they're tempted not to act with integrity, they better not, you know. So, but for the most part, most of the people I work with are very, very good that way, and that's something that is not... That's not something you can compromise on. You either have it or you don't. And so it's very, very important to me. So let's get back to the things you need to bring to a financial planning meeting. We're going to talk a little nuts and bolts today, okay? We talked about the latest tax returns, Social Security statements, statements from your 401k, balances, statements from mortgages or any debt you have, recent payroll statement. So I want to see if you're putting money in and whatnot. Insurances you may have. Hopefully it's just term insurance on the life side. If you have a whole life policy, I'll want to know a lot more about that because they don't do insurance particularly well, and they certainly don't do investing particularly well. I want to see your will and living trust documents, if applicable. List of real estate values and mortgages we talked about. Ideally, the accounts should have the owners on them, the beneficiary, where held, and the values. So I love my engineering people because they always have everything laid out and nice little who owns it, who's the beneficiary, where it's held. You know, they're so detail oriented, but it's wonderful to see. And real estate, residential, commercial, in the name of the couple, single, already in a living trust, and a separate business. Don't forget, you business owners out there, what the revenues are, the profits, assets, liabilities, and who the owners of the business are and whatnot. So that's absolutely critical. And when I get everything, we'll chat. And I only do 1 to 2 meetings a day. So if you need 2 hours to get to know you, you have it. And that's the way I like to run things because I'm going to take all these statements and I'll put them in your file and I'm going to study them for a week or two. And I'm going to look at them many, many times, and I'm going to look at them and look at them and look at them because it takes me a while to assimilate everything and study it, and that's when the questions come up. We'll talk more about personal financial planning, what's going on in the markets, and if you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com and give me a call. And thanks for listening to 94.9 News Now. We'll be back in a few. Thank you. back. We played the song a little bit longer because Chris had to help me with my headphones. We got new headphones here and they're pretty high tech, right, Chris? But in any case, it was actually pretty funny. Any case, we were talking about what you bring to a financial planning meeting, and we're talking about your statements and blah, 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 blah. And also, on my website, O'BrienRetire.com, on the upper right corner, there's a retirement planning button. If you go down, there's an input sheet. You can type right onto the sheet, or you can make a copy of the sheet and write into it or type it and then email it to me. And if you give me that input sheet and then come in with your statements, boy, we're well on our way. It's a wonderful thing. And all that stuff will go into the retirement in a nutshell planning software, which I use for cash flow planning for everybody, because retirement is all about cash flow. Now, some people, if you have accounts spread out all over because your mom and dad told you a depression story about the banks, I was joking around a couple of, when I first came in the business in 1980, everybody I talked to had a depression story. Every single person had either gone through it if they were old enough in 1980, because remember, it was only 40, 50 years before, or their parents struggled through it. And you know, of course, now I never hear depression stories because that generation has faded away. But I was a young man starting in the business, 23 years old, in 1980. I just got an MBA. I was a smart little dude, you know, on Wall Street, running up and down with a brand new suit on that my mother had bought me, and heard a lot of depression stories. So this week I got reminded of that as people coming in, and they got stuff all over the place, and they're losing track of it. You know, they're getting into their mid, late 70s, and it's hard to keep track of everything. You know, it really is, especially when you have multiple IRAs and you want to do RMDs on each one of them. RMD is a required minimum distribution. You have to do it at 70.5. It's a percentage of the account starting around 4. As you get into 8, it gets up to 6% when you hit your early 80s. You know, it's a calculation we send to you every year. You got to take out this amount. But if you have, say, 8 IRAs, all right, you don't have to do it on all 8. You just have to take the sum total of 8 and make sure you do the RMD on that sum total, but you can do it all out of one account. People don't realize that. So if you want to keep things simple, then pick a pro. It can be in your hometown. It can be me, whoever you want, okay? Whoever you're comfortable with, okay? Because you see situations where you have stuff all over the place, and then you have an executor or your kids, and you're leaving them a nightmare, especially if you have a DRIP plan. You know what a DRIP plan is? DRIP plan is a dividend reinvestment plan. If you have multiple DRIP plans, dividend reinvestment plans, and you have not consolidated those into an account, I'm telling you, it's going to take them 2 years to clean that up. And if the kids are not financial oriented or not diligent in that way, they're going to hire an attorney. And boy, oh boy, the attorney is going to, you know, it's going to be expensive. You know, the attorney's going to spend his time working hard on it. Okay? And it's a lot of work, and it could have been all avoided. It could have been all avoided if you picked a pro, consolidate everything in the right way. You can still dividend reinvest through Pershing. I have Pershing, you know, that's my clearing bank in New York Mellon, and I hit the button and dividend reinvested there. Better yet, they keep track of the gains and losses if that's an issue with you. But, you know, that I saw this week, and I think that's something that people have to start. One spouse will say, well, I don't want to pay anybody to do stuff we were doing all along. Well, it's like anything else. Your bodies change, your mind changes, your finances change. It's just the way life is, and you have to adjust to it. And so if you think you can do it yourself, great. But in many cases, I think you should hire a pro. If it's me, great. If it's someone else in your town that's a pro, knows what they're doing, help you consolidate everything, because you're doing your executors and your beneficiaries, usually your kids, a huge favor if you do that. So just keep it in mind. A lot of you have accumulated $1-3 million, okay? You've worked hard. You've been disciplined. You went through tough times. You might have got laid off once or twice, but you never gave up. You worked hard. You were diligent about putting money in your 401ks, your IRAs. You maybe built a business. You bought real estate. You know, you're building net worth. You got to own stuff. You know, you can't leave the money in a checking account in a bank. You can build your money that way, but you really can't grow it. So in many cases, these parents are independent, strong-willed, very talented. But sometimes a pro is needed to handle and facilitate the generational transfer and help the kids handle it properly. You know, we all have strengths and weaknesses, and some of our kids have the money gene, and some do not. You know, they'll nod their head, oh, yes, Daddy, I know what you're talking about. I don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. So just be aware of that. The money is important that you pass along to your kids. Don't get me wrong. The money is important. But much more important is the education. The education, the advice from a pro, a good relationship with a pro. So as they go through, they're not all alone, and they can work with this pro and help them develop those same great habits that you had, okay? And sometimes the light doesn't turn on until 35 with these kids, all right? Or 45, you know? I'm a firm believer right now that if you have sons, they really don't get it till they're about 25 years old, you know? And when it comes to money, it could be much, much later. So just be aware of that, okay? So education is extremely important. If you doubt me, just look at the history of Powerball and what's that other big lottery? I forget the name of it, but somebody in California won $500 million this week. Keep your mouth shut, please. Don't tell your friends. Don't have a big party. And the funny thing is the ticket was sold in a liquor store in San Jose. And San Jose is in Silicon Valley. That'd be something if one of those rich tech entrepreneurs actually won. Mega Millions, that's what it's called. Mega Millions. Oh, man, talk about irony. But he'd probably have the advice around him and won't be dumb about it. You know, so education is so important because you can give them the fish, but I think it's much important to teach them how to fish, to borrow an old Bible story, so to speak. Last week I saw some of you have accounts, and I've seen these through the years. They're called mutual fund managed accounts. Sometimes they're at the mutual fund provider. Sometimes they're at a third party. But basically, they are mutual fund accounts that are wrapped by a fee. And I hate these accounts. And why do I hate them? Because they're run by formula. They ask you some questions, figure out your allocations, then stick in funds, and then wrap it with a fee. A double whammy. Some of the big mutual fund families are wrapping these accounts with fees and have their own funds in there. Whoa! Here's my issue with that. First of all, the allocation's fixed and not market sensitive. Are you kidding? How lazy can you be? If the market starts to fade, should your advisor not call you and say, hey, let's cut risks, but not in these plans because you already filled out the form? It's cookie cutter, so all the financial advisors know nothing about investments, know nothing about accumulating assets. All they know about is accumulating assets, sales, which is sales, and handing it off internally to a group that automates the process. Geez, you know, that's great for $5,000. But there's some accounts out there, $500,000, $5 million, that are in these automated double whammy mutual fund wrap programs. I think they're crap. I don't like them. And when I see them, it's like, do you really understand what's going on here? And will they call you when you should be adjusting your allocations and your risk levels based on market conditions? No, they won't. So, and in a taxable account, this is where it really, really ticks me off. It can be disastrous. I had one client in D.C. call me because she had a large amount in one of these programs, all right, mutual fund, all mutual funds, several million dollars in a mutual fund wrap program, okay? Mutual funds are expensive, and then you put the wrap fee on top of them. But listen to this. This was a taxable account. So the investment committee of the firm decided that the international fund that she had in that account was underperforming, and we need to replace it with another international fund, okay? And I look back at the two of them, and there wasn't really much of a difference. The new one had a slightly better return for the risk level and whatnot. But when they made the switch in the taxable account, she incurred a $150,000 capital gain. And because it was cookie cutter and formula, guess what? She got screwed. Yes, she did. Because all of a sudden she had this gain. She called me up and goes, do I have any losses in this? You know, I have a stock account with her. I have any losses? I go, no. She goes, oh, my God, I got to find some losses. I have this gain. I go, why do you have a formula wrap mutual fund account in a taxable account? I could somewhat justify it in an IRA deferred qualified money account because you wouldn't have to worry about gains. But in a taxable account, you let a formula investment committee incur a capital gain on your behalf without having any control over it. You know, I soft-pedaled it because I didn't want to stress her out more than she was. But I don't know if the light's gone on yet, but boy, oh boy, it should, because when I capital gains are critical for any decision I make in a taxable account. I want to avoid situations where a trustee in a trust, I heard about this story, decided on their own to take a $2 million capital gain in this taxable trust for a beneficiary, sent a check off to the IRS for $450,000, and never consulted the client. And the client's sitting there going, well, what happened? And then on top of it all, left the money in a money market for 2 or 3 years, the greatest bull market we've ever seen. You know? Absolutely crazy stuff goes on out there. Anytime I buy or sell anything in a taxable account, we have huge gains, and I want to get out of the stock because I think it's peaking, I spread it over the years, spread the gains so we don't get a hit all in 1 year. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, give me a ring during the week, 860-415-9614. Thanks for listening to 94 Now News Now. This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com on 94 Now, no news now. Hope everybody's doing well. It's an interesting morning. We're talking about capital gains and how not to incur them when you don't mean to. Also, if you own mutual funds in a taxable account, a regular account, if they buy or sell anything in the account, they have to sweep those gains or losses to you every year, and that's when you get that special dividend at the end of the year that you may or may not want because it incurs extra gains. So just be aware that we own mutual funds in regular accounts. If they're stock mutual funds and they have a big year, they will pass it through to you. So just be aware. That's why I do not like owning mutual funds for the most part because they're expensive, but also because they can incur capital gains when you don't want them. Now, sometimes it's wise to take a gain, as I've reminded people who have large positions in stocks like General Electric Steel or Pfizer, which, other than the dividends they've been getting, have been dead money for 15 years. The stocks have done nothing. Okay, and so some people still own them. And when they come in with those stocks, you know, the big thing is what you gain? Have you any plan to diversify away from them? Should you? Is the dividend very, very important to you? Or maybe you should do some other things with that money. It's very concerning when those two positions become over, you know, 30, 35, 40% of the account, then you've been probably sitting on them so long, because companies rise and fall and your net worth should be independent of the whims of one company or their good or horrible management. And sometimes they have a very good chairman or chairwoman person, and then they're followed by a terrible one. You got to pay attention. You know, I have the CNBC and Fox Business on all day in the office, and the only time I'll turn it up is when they have a chairperson of a major company talking, because I want to hear what they have to say. All right? That is one thing that will determine the success of a company more, is how sharp they are. And don't think your boards are infallible. Your boards pick stiffs all the time. Your board, company boards of these companies. So you got to know what's going on with that person, all right? You know, and the biggest problem is many people, you know, worked at Pfizer. Pfizer was a great company. Chairman Platt did a fantastic job reinvesting back into medical research, original good medical research. And Pfizer boomed during the 90s. Boomed, okay? And then the crew that came in after him were financial engineers, accountants, bureaucrats, and they just wanted to buy companies, strip the product out, strip the company down, and no research. And when you start getting the mindset, you pass on to the troops through the field that now you just become a mutual fund of pharmaceutical products, your real talent, I think your real talent doesn't want to work under those, and they're going to go other places. And I think that's what happened to Pfizer. A lot of people started leaving. And the real talent walks out the door. The ones that discover drugs, you know, those are the people that everybody wants, right? So those things you got to be very, very much aware of, because managements are critical. If Pfizer had hired another guy like Platt, who was going to reinvest, keep the company more smaller and more intensive, dedicated on research, they probably, I think the stock probably would have done much, much better. Nobody knows for sure, but that's my guess. You know, I remember going to Houston for a 2 or 3 day, and it was a little Irishman. I think his name was Gilligan. He ran a fund for Eaton Vance, I believe it was. A very good fund, very good long-term fund. Spent a couple days with him and his staff learning about the fund and how they do things. It was like a, you know, continuing ed thing. And he told me that he hires 12 or 13 CPAs out of grad school, all right, young whippersnappers. And he has them go through the financial statements of all the companies he's considering buying in that fund. Now, this is going back, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And he said the reason he does that is because he assumes that all managements are lying, that they fudge their numbers or they put stuff in. So he taught the young kids to take the financial statements and start from the back, reading the notes, and go backwards and through. Because he was a very cynical man, this Mr. Gilligan. And basically, it was very interesting to hear him talk, because he says that managements can't be trusted. And you have to check and double check, because when he bought a company, he wanted to make sure he knew where all the skeletons were. And so it was very, very interesting to listen to it. And so through the years, I've become of the opinion that all financial news is all manipulated, in my opinion. Reporters are lazy with the facts or have no historical perspective. This is financial reporting especially. And anyone with half a brain could see the spin from a mile away. Negative stories are often planted by short sellers hoping to cause a panic. You know, they put people in the company sometimes, I suspect. I don't know for sure, but I always suspected they did this sort of thing. They try to find dirt on the companies any way they can, try to leak it to the press. And because a lot of these pension funds want to earn a little bit extra, they'll lend the stock out to be sold short. And what happens is, you know, they try to go through and make money off of other people's misery. Some cases, they find companies that are true pie in the sky, and they should not be as high as they are. So they do have a function, but many times the stories you leak, some of the times the stuff I read or whatnot, I go, oh, that sounds like a plant, you know, many of the things I read. So I'm very, very careful. I like to read the 10-Ks and 10-Qs, which come out on the SEC Edgar system, and read them for myself, because these companies play it pretty straight with the SEC. They don't want to get in trouble and whatnot. So I just letting you know, a lot of stuff goes on behind the scenes when I'm putting together portfolios. I am very, very interested in what's going on and who the managements are. People. I believe 5% of the managements are truly exceptional. I think 95% of the stocks out there wouldn't touch with your money or my money. And I try to find those 5%ers that I think will do extremely well through the years. And, you know, I think it's very, very important that, you know, we have that type of research going on. It's very, very important. Talking to realtors this week, they're complaining sales are down from last year, because there's no inventory of homes here. And they're telling me that the Zillow values are way understated, because they're using historical tax valuations that were used as a percentage of the tax. And we know how inaccurate or inaccurate they are. Okay? So I thought that was very interesting. I think you're going to see some houses come on the market at higher prices than you normally would expect. And if we get the right type of people in Hartford in November who believe in growth, Connecticut may even catch up with the rest of the country, where we're lagging about 30% in home values since 2012, which I've mentioned before in previous shows. Popular industries this week in the stock market are pharma, biotech, medical, and software. They've been the top performing groups in the market. In the dumps this week are Turkey, silver, gold, China, Italy, and timber. That's a combo, huh? Turkey, silver, gold, China, Italy, and timber. I'll tell you, that's something. EU and Trump came to an agreement this week, which hopefully will help smooth things over and get things rolling again, so our internal industries can export and they can also import into our country. Very interesting this week. Facebook ran up and then got beat up on earnings announcement. A couple of weeks before, Netflix had run up way before earnings, and then when earnings came out, boom, they creamed it again. What does that mean to me? Well, it means to me that we have a lot of rookie investors out there that are buying, anticipating earnings, which is a really dumb thing to do. I always wait till after earnings to see, because then at least I have 3 months, all right, before the next earnings. I hate surprises. I kind of want to know what's going on with the company. And if I got to pay up a little bit, because I'll pay up a little bit. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, the people that bought Facebook after the earnings announcement are a lot happier than the ones that bought it just before the announcement, you know. But my MLPs, the oil and gas pipelines, I like to buy them for income, the ETFs. I don't buy them individually, but I just buy the ETF. Got a good tax treatment decision from FERC this week, and so we got some nice appreciation, and we got nice dividends coming in, which when you get that combination, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing for the portfolios. And as I said before, I referred a man to the Medicare supplement provider locally. He was very happy to get the expert advice I could not give. And an old friend also helped out a client who needed Social Security advice because he was retiring and had a minor child. My friend's a Social Security expert, and he was able to help this man go through and work it out with his ex-wife in terms of getting the right advice and care. So the child Social Security that can turn on when your dad retires, your parent retires, and you're a minor, can go toward his education. So it was a good week that way. I love being able to get the right person to the right person with the right advice at the right time. Not afterwards, after the mistake. So, and I really want to thank people that have come up to me and tell me they enjoy the show. That's been happening now, more and more, and it means more to me than you'll know from the bottom of my heart. A big thank you. Thank you very much. So, you tell me you have too much money in the bank and you need to do something with it. So, give me a ring and we'll show you what to do. There's no rush, no pressure, but it's, the more income you have for the savers out there, the better off you are. Talk to you in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group at Exit 90, up from Stake Loft in Mystic, Connecticut. My office sits there at the hubbub of tourism here in southeastern Connecticut. The roads are full and families are about, and it's nice to see. I enjoy the summer hubbub. Of course, I get caught by the bridge every once in a while, but hey, what are you going to do? It's one of those things. I heard a great quote the other day about getting older, retirement. And I love this quote, and it's by an actress that many of you know, especially if you've been around a while, named Sophia Loren. Truly, probably one of the great beauties of our century, the last century especially. She says this: "There is a fountain of youth. It's in your mind, your talents, the creativity you bring to your life, and to the lives of those you love. When you learn to tap into the source, you will truly have defeated age." So that's a great, great quote. Fountain of youth, it's in your mind, your talents, and your creativity. Isn't that a great quote? I love it. Love it, love it, love it. But in any case, let's get back to it. Be sure to get your annual credit report from the 3 credit reporting agencies. A lot of the credit cards now are putting it on their site, so if you have that little handheld gizmo, they'll give you a credit report. Credit scores are used by loan providers, landlords, and others to determine what they'll sell you and at what price. For example, a low credit score can increase the cost of a 60-month, $20,000 auto loan by more than $5,000. So it can really change the price of your home insurance, auto insurance. They all use credit scores now, son of a guns. But they also use the 24-hour rule. The rule helps prevent expensive impulse purchases. Think over every non-essential purchase for at least 24 hours. Salesmen won't like you, but maybe your wallet will. This is particularly easy to do if you shop online because you can add items to your cart or wish list and then go back to them a day later. It's no rush. Think things over. Smart ones over always do that. Now, retirement doesn't necessitate that you have to remain in the same house where you've always lived. Without an ongoing maintenance required for a larger home, downsizing can free up your time and energies for more enjoyable activities. Plus, moving into a 50-plus community will surround you with like-minded people with similar interests, or people that have way too much time on their hands that are going to pick on you about the bush you put in front of your condo. It depends, you know, but it's like anything else. Some people want to be around kids and everything else. I love this one. The Golden Girls had a great idea. When you pool your resources in retirement, you can live a whole lot better. When two or more people share the same house and household expenses, the money goes further, whether you're renting or sharing a mortgage payment. And if you already own your home, that's a big expense out of the way, even if you plan to live on your own. And I remember my Uncle Tom, he's down in the Villages, and he says his neighbors were four nuns, retired nuns, that bought a house in the Villages, and delightful, and they all shared the house together and had wonderful company with each other. So there's a lot of ways to do it. There's traditional, non-traditional, whatever, you know, figure out what works for you and what's within your budget. Because, but make sure your retirement planning includes your spouse and loved ones. Finances and retirement planning can be extremely difficult subjects to talk about, even for married couples. But I believe firmly that you should get the kids in the room and talk about, you know, the different issues you have and whatnot. And on your health issues, too. Because, you know, they want to know and they want to be able to help. I think at some point we got to stop going it alone and ask for help, you know. And I'm looking in the mirror while I talk because I'm pretty, like, independent and stubborn. But there's times when you just need to talk to somebody that, you know, knows what's going on. Another thing is put aside about 30% of your income for lifestyle spending. This includes movies, restaurants, and other fun activities. Basically anything that's outside your basic necessities. By abiding by the 30% rule, you'll be able to save and splurge at the same time. So have some fun, save your money, but also have a budget for the fun activities that you want to do. I think it's very, very important. Now, your net worth is the difference between your assets and your debt. It's a big picture number. And I think every January 1st, everybody's doing those New Year's resolutions. You should do your net worth resolution, which is measure what you have, what you owe, and that's your net worth, and compare it to the previous January 1st. Did it go up? Did it go down? Why did it go down? What do you need to do differently? What happened? Blah, blah. Maybe you had an emergency. Money had to be spent. Maybe you had a great year and got some money you weren't expecting through a gift or inheritance or increase in job, and you were smart about it. But in any case, it's good to track, you know, because it's a wise thing to do and whatnot. So, you know, things to think about because you never know. You know, keeping your retirement goals front and center is important. Writing down the goals, make them real. Some people go a step further to create a vision board or post photos on a refrigerator. What I did is my next office, I put up a big board on the office, and I got business cards coming in from all over. I meet people, networking, doing this. People give me their cards and everything else. And I used to put them, you know, in a card file, and it was useless. Useless. So now I have this big, huge poster board, and I scotch tape them up. And once or twice a week, I'll go in there and go, hey, yeah, they were nice people. I don't talk to them, you know, because visually I can see them. And so I think it's an important thing to do. You know, take the idea if you want it, everything else. A woman turning 65 today can expect to live on average to 86 and a half, whereas a man turning 65 today can expect on average to live to 84.3. One in four women will reach the age of 92. That's pretty amazing because when I first started in the business, I used to run projections to 75, then it went to 80, and now I run projections to 95. And life insurance term rates have come down a lot because they found out that people weren't dying on the old tables, and the price of term insurance went down pretty dramatically there, starting about 8 to 10 years ago, somebody told me. So it's kind of interesting to see what's going on. Marriage is good for you, and so are long-term relationships. The psychophysiology study points out that while stressful marriages are detriment as we age, strong relationships with a partner help in every nearly every aspect of life. So that's good to know. Regardless of your wealth levels, Americans 50-plus cite healthcare concerns in retirement as their greatest financial concern. However, the vast majority of people do not factor healthcare costs into their retirement planning. Well, you know and I know that healthcare costs can have a huge effect, especially later on. And I always tell people, one of the Retirement Ten Commandments, if you want me to send it to you, is make sure you take care of your teeth, because a lot of infections in the 70s come from the gums and whatnot. Make sure you go to the dentist. I know it's not covered by Medicare, but make sure you have a plan and you pay into it. And the other thing is eyeglasses. Make sure you have a plan for those, because those are darn expensive. And you know and I know, if your vision starts to go, you better have a good plan and get your eyeglasses so you can keep driving. Because taking the car away is the hardest thing to do, you know. But sometimes, you know, it is what it is. Naturally, you want to make efficient progress to your financial goals. Having a trusted advisor allows you to feel less stressed and more confident and someone to talk to. Pay your bills online on AutoPay. It ensures they're paid on time and in full to avoid late charges. As a bonus, some loan providers will provide a small interest rate deduction if you enroll in AutoPay. So, you know, it's just something, some advice for you. Research has revealed that baby boomers who are working with a financial advisor are twice as confident about having sufficient savings for retirement than their peers who are planning retirement on their own. So it's something that can be a little misleading, because people on their own can do it too. There's no reason. But I think people that have a relationship with someone, I think that bond creates not a pressure, but an expectation that, hey, I don't want to let myself down or my advisor down. I want to work toward these goals and not get yelled at. Some people come in my office and they go, I think I made a mistake. Yeah, you shouldn't have taken on that debt at 64 years old. What would you have told me to do? Well, I would have yelled at you. They laugh, you know, and I'm laughing too. I mean, I said, you know, that was dumb, but let's see if we can, you know, figure out what to do and everything else. The fact that you came in is huge, because that means that, you know, two heads are better than one. You know, it's good to talk it over and everything else. Retire debt before you retire. As retirement time approaches, the lower your debt, the better. Paying off debt entirely isn't possible for everyone, but the less you owe, the better off you will be. This applies to credit cards as well as your home and vehicle. So people come in, sometimes the house is paid off, but they just bought a car and everything else. But they're like, they look at me, yeah, it's a five-year loan, but we're going to pay it off in 2 years or whatever. You know, these people are smart. They know that any debt robs you of your future income. They know it. And they know they don't want that, so they want to get rid of it and everything else. A survey from Capital One Bank, that's ironic, found that 1 in 4 people struggle to keep up with monthly bills and don't have much left over to save. Another 1 in 10 admit to regularly spending more than they earn. Are we shocked, Capital One? Are we shocked? I hope you paid for that study. I'm sure you had no problems. Both Roth and pre-tax contributions offer the benefit of tax-sheltered growth while you're working. When you contribute with pre-tax dollars, qualified withdrawals in retirement are taxed as ordinary income. As contrast, Roth contributions invest post-tax dollars, so qualified withdrawals come out tax-free, which is absolutely wonderful. The cost of being a caregiver can be overwhelming. There's extreme emotional turmoil, and there are also serious financial concerns for money spent out of pocket and time caregiving instead of earning income. Having a plan in place before you're faced with this situation can provide great peace of mind. So I came across a situation this week where people needed advice to $9,000 a month at a facility versus bringing in a caregiver that I happen to know for $3,000 a month. A huge swing, and someone to keep company with the spouse and talk to them while they're caring for the other spouse. So there's a lot of different ways you can go there. And if you have the financial means, it can be a huge, huge benefit to having a home caregiver. So anyway, I just wanted to hope everybody's doing well. If you'd like my Retirement Ten Commandments or you'd like me to make an appointment, please feel free to contact me at 860-415-9614. It goes right to my cell phone, so I usually pick up. If I don't know the number because of these robocalls, I'll probably let it go to voicemail until I know you're a real person, because that's robo stuff is killing me. In any case, if you would like my retirement 10 commandments, you can also email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com. Hope everybody has a great week. I think we got some thunderstorms coming, so just be aware and bring the umbrella with you. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.